Welcome back into the Monday Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com, sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Over 1,000 locations nationwide, Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. This segment also brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Auto Home Life Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. And by the National Sports Phone, 888-800-5000. Your one stop for updated Las Vegas odds, all free on a recorded message. Free plays from the nation's top handicappers, trends, injuries, weather, and more, all free on a recorded message, 888-800-5000. All right, Mike, appreciate Mike Bernard from OTM Sports being with us on a Monday. He's doing this all this season as part of the Monday Morning Blitz show. And, Mike, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Let's move right back into the games. Troy, and before I say this, a buddy of mine in Big Ten country, he sends me a text yesterday morning and says, the Big Ten should have never expanded. All those expansion teams are getting us killed. And this is one, Troy 29, Nebraska 19. Troy went into Lincoln with a plan. They executed it. They had the Huskers back on their heels all day. And a lot of people say, oh, well, if the quarterback – I thought Nebraska's quarterback played fine. I thought Troy just went up there and lined up toe-to-toe with them.
I felt like they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. This is not an excuse because – the Big Ten got shellacked on Saturday. Whether there's the bottom-tier teams or not, of course, Wisconsin wasn't a bottom-tier team. And look, they're hanging their hopes on Ohio State now because Ohio State was the lone bright spot. But Nebraska, this team in particular, look, Scott Frost, I feel like he's going to be the guy. But, Coach, he simply does not have the personnel to run his scheme.
I'm in total agreement with you there. They're growing pains there. And much like, and I'm going to give this guy a pass this week, Chad Morris at Arkansas, they got just shellacked by North Texas too. But after years and years of recruiting to playing cornbread football, Brett Bielema brings all these big linemen in. He's going to be smash mouth. And all of a sudden, you bring Chad Morris in. It wants all these little scat backs and quickness and everything. You know, these guys are 280-pound running backs and offensive linemen trying to play in tutus. I mean, it just doesn't fit. And we've got the same type thing going on at Nebraska. Now, first of all, I'm just going to say this. Forget the talent. Mike Riley didn't leave a lot of talent in Lincoln for Scott Frost regardless.
No, he didn't. And look, Troy – they beat LSU on the road. They beat Nebraska on the road. They're not a bottom-tier team. They're in the Sun Belt, yes. But those teams, especially in September, can beat the Power 5 teams. To your comment, Coach, about Chad Morris, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a pass right now, but he's not going to be the guy, not to offend Arkansas fan. But, look, the little scat backs and all that type of offense, it does not work. And for those that say, well, Auburn and Florida did it, no, they didn't do that. They had the power run game up the middle, and then additionally they had the smaller, quicker guys.
Spot on right there, Mike. I don't think long-term Chad Morris is going to be the answer either. Now, hey, if he proves me wrong, I'll be the first to come on the air and say that he proved me wrong. But – you know,
you don't have to worry about that.
I do not see it happening. And one thing is I think that there, and we've talked about this off the air ad nauseum, there are some coaches who are great position coaches, but they're not great coordinators. And there are some coordinators that are great coordinators, but they're not great head coaches. And there's some assistant coaches who would not be a great coordinator, but they make fantastic head coaches. Each one of those coaching positions has a different dynamic and a different job description to it. Arkansas, as we talked back when they made this hire, when they didn't get Gus Malzahn, it was like, we've just got to get somebody. We've got to make some type of splash hire. Well, you know, that was the biggest splash they could make. But again, personally, I don't think Chad Morris is going to be the answer at Arkansas either. But getting back to this Troy-Nebraska game real quick, Neil Brown has done a great job of continuing what Larry Blakeney built at Troy. And don't think that this is the first time that, you know, Troy has gone into a Power 5 conference stadium and won. Of course, you mentioned they did it last year at LSU. I remember when they went into Starkville, Mississippi, when Jackie Sherrill was head coach of the Bulldogs, they upset Mississippi State, and that was their first really big win against a Power 5 school.
Right, and I believe they beat Missouri, and they beat Oklahoma State, and we haven't seen a Power 5 team go into Troy since.
No. We talked about earlier, Boise went into Troy earlier this year. And again, Troy and Boise, you and I both think those programs are so much alike with, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in, you know, a parking lot behind the Dew Drop-In Motel and we've striped off the parking lot. And if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning, they don't care. They'll go play anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Absolutely. And that's what you want to see as a fan. You want to see competition. You want to see teams like Boise State, Troy, Central Florida. They'll go play in Japan, on the East Coast, the West Coast. They don't care. They want to compete.
Looking at another Southeastern Conference school, Vandy. I thought Vandy had all the tools to go into South Bend and win. And after watching the game, I'm convinced that I was right. Vandy has got to come up, and they're doing a great job under Derek Mason, and he's trying to rebuild that belief that was started under James Franklin. But even under James Franklin, they really never went on the road and faced a true powerhouse team and a top 10 team and came out with a win. You know, this was a chance for Vandy to go into Notre Dame and really make a statement about that program. And, you know, you can go back and pick out three or four plays. That was the difference in the game. Notre Dame escapes with a 22-17 win.
Yeah, escape's a good term. Coach, Notre Dame was a two-touchdown favorite. They're playing at home. The main reasons that Vanderbilt could not get it done, they outgained Notre Dame by 40 yards. But they were -3 in turnovers. And I think lastly, you have to give – there was that component or that element that Vanderbilt knew they were Vandy and Notre Dame knew they were Notre Dame, and that played a role in Vanderbilt not getting the win as well.
Just like playing the Yankees, you're looking at the pinstripes, baby. That's the difference right there. Let's move into a game that was, again, we joked about it during Inside the Numbers last week, but this is kind of like the reunion tour of Journey and Def Leppard going around. But we had USC and Texas meeting there in Austin. Frankly, I thought USC would give a better accounting of themselves. Tom Herman's under a lot of pressure right now after losing to Maryland for consecutive seasons. He's also not real popular right now with certain boosters in Austin who've paid this man a lot of money, and now he's being implicated in a saga that's going on back up in Columbus, Ohio, with Ohio State and all that mess. He needed a win very badly, and Texas was going for their 900th overall win. And it just was going to, you know, it wasn't going to be good this week for Tom Herman if Texas lost. And they escaped, or no, they didn't escape. No, they didn't escape. They put their foot on USC's throat in the last quarter and a half and walked out of there 37-14. And the reason I used escape again is because, you know, I don't know if you watched this game. I watched it from basically start to finish. I mean, first of all, Texas, USC tackles Texas for a safety, and they don't get the call. Now, USC was up at that point. And then after the non-call on the safety, USC roughs the punter in the end zone, and then the onslaught was on. And it turned in to a beatdown, 37-14.
You know, the difference in this game was 20 points, obviously, or 23 points. And those little plays, and obviously a call that does that takes away points or doesn't give you points, that's not a little mistake. And they can change the momentum, but I felt like Texas, they took that opportunity. They snowballed it into a three-touchdown victory. The one glaring stat that I look at is SC had 16 rushing attempts for 5 yards. Clay Helton is on his way out unless he pulls a miracle out of you-know-where.
He's going to have to get it turned around and turned around quickly. And if, I mean, USC, even no matter who's been the coach there that's been successful, you know, it's always been known us as we were coming up as running back, you student body left, student body right. You've got to run the football if you're at USC. And again, I you know, and I like Clay Helton. I think he's a heck of a football coach, and he's an even better person. But again, you know, nice people don't necessarily get to keep their jobs in this business. He's got to rebound because that was their second loss on the year, and he's got some tough competition coming down the pike out there in the Pac-12.
Absolutely. In their last two games, they were outscored 54-17. Both of them were on the road, but still, as you say, the 5 yards rushing for a USC team, it's unacceptable. I don't see how he can salvage his job.
Well, one thing about it, Tom Herman, he's off the hot seat this week, but he better win this week or he's going to be right back on because you right. know how things go out there. Well, of course, the national game everyone was looking to in the afternoon was the Auburn-LSU game, and that game did not disappoint. The night game, Ohio State and TCU, it kind of got away late. Ohio State wins that one 40-28, but I can point back to two key plays that caused TCU to let the game get away from them.
Yeah, that was, first of all, they won 40-28 by 12. Remember, when we previewed that game, I always talk about that number 12 in college football. It's a scary number. It usually means the underdog. So that line was 12 or 12.5, and amazingly, 12's not it's not a very common differential, and they won exactly 40-28. But special teams, my take on the game was special teams and the fact that Gary Patterson went with that up-tempo and caught Ohio State off guard, and they rushed for 200-plus yards on the Buckeyes.
They did. The key play in the game for me was the intercepted shuttle pass. That was the key play for me. And early on in the game, when they were running the fast break offense, the Frogs, they were keeping Ohio State's defensive linemen back on their heels. But when those Buckeye defensive linemen were fresh, they were just gashing the Frog offensive line. And that's exactly what happened on the shuttle pass interception for the touchdown. And people said, oh, the quarterback made a dumb decision. No, the quarterback didn't make a dumb decision. And, you know, first of all, if you say that, you don't understand the game. You don't understand the speed of the game. Because on that play, the quarterback has time to make one read. And he's reading the defensive end or the outside linebacker, whichever the scheme may present. And if he comes upfield, he shuttles it underneath. If he squeezes down, then he'll take off on the outside. you know, he's just got to count on his offensive lineman to wall off the defensive lineman. But that defensive lineman from Ohio State, he just came scot-free across the face of the offensive guard. And it was an easy pick, but a great athletic move by the defensive lineman to get it back into the end zone for the Buckeyes. And as we kind of said with the Texas game, that was kind of the play that just turned everything around. And after that, TCU really didn't have that much of a chance.
Yeah, that's right. And look, that defensive lineman for the Buckeyes was very athletic. He made several moves and got all the way into the end zone. But more importantly, that was the moment that when you looked at the game and said, okay, Ohio State's going to pull away at the end.
Yeah, and listen, one thing that and I'm going to go ahead and say this and everybody can laugh. I don't care. But Dwayne Haskins is going to be the best quarterback at Ohio State in recent memory after his career is over. If not, he may be the best quarterback since Troy Smith that won the Heisman Trophy.
Well, that's a lot of praise for the kid. I like him. I think he's athletic. I think he's smart. I think much like Jalen Hurts, he seems to be a flatliner, which I like at quarterback. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. And he has great athletic ability.
No question about that. 24 of 38, 344 yards, no interceptions, two touchdowns. And I think this young man, I think he is the real deal. No doubt about it. Let's move on to our final college game, Mike, and let's talk about Arizona State, San Diego State. Now, again, everyone, Herm Edwards has gone out to the desert. He's created a firestorm of enthusiasm out there like they haven't seen in Tempe since probably Frank Kush was there. But they were looking to go 3-0 on the year. And San Diego State, which, again, the Aztecs, you know, year in and year out, you can count on San Diego State to win a game that everybody doesn't think they have a chance to win. And Arizona State was coming into this game feeling good about themselves. The national media was feeling good about Arizona State. But San Diego State ekes out the win 28-21.
Well, I'll say this. It's good to see that Arizona State has some renewed excitement out there. I like Herm Edwards. I like his personality. I know what he's done in his career. And it's tough to win at Arizona State, or has been the last few years, but he's had that defense. Remember, that defense got torched each of the last 2 years. He has them playing well this year. But San Diego State, they're a Mountain West team. And in my opinion, the Mountain West is the most undervalued conference in all of college football. And, of course, I would say the American Athletic Conference is stronger than the Mountain West, but they're also undervalued. But as far as getting respect, and part of the reason is because they play when the East Coast has checked out. They're either asleep or they've checked out of the day for college football. But San Diego State, they're a solid team. They were only getting 4 or 5 points in this game to a Pac-12 team. And, of course, they ended up winning it outright.
Yeah, and as you said, the Pac-12 is really at a disadvantage when what was a pretty good football game. Utah and Washington was the premier Pac-12 game this past weekend. And, you know, I doubt anyone in the Central or Eastern time zone besides me stayed up and watched the whole thing, you know.
Well, here's the thing. That is a huge disadvantage, and I give credit to Chris Peterson of Washington. He says, hey, we're going to get in the limelight. We're going to go cross-country, and we're going to play Auburn in their backyard, and they gave a great game and were leading in the fourth quarter. But, again, it's different than when Baylor and other teams have said, oh, no, we're going to schedule who we schedule and try to win them all. Well, at least Chris Peterson, maybe he'll start that trend to where the Pac-12 realizes, hey, you have to be in prime time, and not prime time on the West Coast, but on the East Coast.
Totally agree with you there. Let's talk about that last drive for Arizona State. And if you didn't see this game, go listen, go on YouTube or whatnot and find the last few minutes of this game. And it's fourth and whatever from probably about their own 45-yard line. Arizona State heaves one toward the end zone. It's caught right about between the 1 and 2 yard line. The receiver catches the ball, and it is a blatant targeting. Now, and Mike, you know you and I have talked about this off the air since this rule came into effect. Being an old defensive guy, you know, I don't like this targeting rule. Now, let me just say this. It's not that I don't think that true targeting should be called, okay? If you spear someone, if you purposely go in and try to inflict, you know, bodily harm on someone above the shoulders, I'm all for a targeting call. But a lot of targeting calls are being called and held up because a receiver or a running back happened to duck his head just at the wrong moment or what have you. And to me, that penalizes the defender. And we almost saw that in the Ohio State-TCU game. TCU almost lost a player because of that. Luckily, they overturned it.
Right.
But in this situation, this was even me, as a defensive guy who's going to give the defense every benefit of the doubt, I'm throwing every flag I've got in my pocket on this call. It was blatant targeting. And, of course, all targeting calls are what? Reviewed. So mm-hmm. It goes up to the booth, and it's reviewed. And the targeting, of course, is upheld. You didn't have to. You didn't need to review on this one, trust me. But then the replay official says, oh, but wait a second. The nose of the ball actually hit the ground. It's an incomplete pass. Now, to me, that was a travesty. First of all, yes, the ball did hit the ground, but in my opinion, the receiver never truly lost total control of the ball. And I think in college we're probably getting now to these NFL rules. Well, you know, oh, if it happens here, it's a catch. If it happens there, it's not a catch. And, you know, and so it's just so confusing. But in my mind, and again, coming from a defensive guy, I thought this was a catch. Bottom line, I don't think that a replay official, when you are conducting a review of a defensive penalty, should not be able to come back and overturn a call that benefits the offense that the officials have made on the field unless there is unbelievably undeniable video proof. I didn't see it in this case. But the other thing is I want to throw this at you and get your opinion on this. In the NFL, if you commit a penalty, pass interference penalty, against a receiver downfield, it is a spot foul. Now, I remember, you know, I'm a few years older than you. I remember when that was actually the rule in college.
I remember those days.
It was a spot foul. Now, my suggestion to any rules officials out there that may be listening or what have you, but if there is a 15-yard personal foul penalty against a defensive player committed, obviously, onto an offensive receiver, that penalty in some way, shape, form, or fashion causes the receiver to lose the football, lose total possession of the football or what have you, that turns into a spot foul. Now, I'm not talking about a ball that goes through a receiver's hand, and after the ball has gone through his hand, then the receiver gets hit. I'm not saying let that be a spot foul. But if the penalty causes the receiver not to be able to catch the football, that needs to be a spot foul.
Well, Coach, I agree with the intent of your rule change or recommended rule change. But the problem is that's going to just add more subjectivity to an already difficult, convoluted process. That's the only problem I see with it. And as far as, you know, in the Arizona State, San Diego State situation, I don't have an issue with a catch being reversed or an incomplete pass being reversed to a catch based off of a defensive replay, because that could have been done in by itself. I don't mind them trying to get it right, but to your point earlier, it didn't look to me like the ground caused the ball to go to be dislodged, and he had control over it. So those are really two different arguments there. But what I want to do is take as much of the subjectivity and opinions from the actual officials out of the game as much as you can, kind of like you mentioned the NFL, kind of like they've done with the catch rule. It does have more they have to use more of their own judgment now, but it's more of a fair rule, I believe.
I think you're correct in that. And, again, I just thought it was – and, again, I had no rooting interest in the game. I just thought that it was atrocious for Arizona State, you know, to be punished by – because let's put it this way. San Diego State, they benefited from the – you know, from a 15-yard personal foul penalty – that caused, and you know, and again, I don't, you and I both don't think it was an incompletion, but caused the replay official to come back and say, oh, no, by the way, that pass is incomplete. They benefited for that. That is just not right. All right, Mike, listen, we've gone way over, but have you got time to stay through one more break and let's talk about just a couple of NFL games?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Monday Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. And this segment is also brought to you by State Farm Insurance, auto, home, life, property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. And by the National Sports Phone, 888-800-5000. Your one stop for updated Las Vegas odds. All free on a recorded message. Free plays from the nation's top handicappers. Trends, injuries, weather, and more. All free on a recorded message. 888-800-5000. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back for the Monday Morning Blitz.